Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 2 weeks ago, we gave an introduction of the importance of being really underneath sound teaching, sound doctrine. And we set the stage, went through a lot of scripture, and tonight we're going to dive down into 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to read these verses, and then we're going to go back and explain some things. Before I get started, I want you to understand something. I know God is more powerful than we are. So with that being said, I know God can save anybody, anywhere, at any given time. I know that for a fact. My own personal life. Was I in church and I got saved? No, I wasn't in church. I was actually outside of church. God can save you anywhere. And so I want you to understand that. But I want you to also understand that tonight I'm going to be going more into depth than I ever have before when it comes to false teachings. Because I believe it's important to do those things. And I'm going to be giving you a lot of quotes from a lot of people for the next couple weeks. Because I think some things need to be brought to our attention of some things that are out there. And if you're just sitting around and watching it on television, you might not catch it. You really got to pay close attention to some of these things. And there's some things that I've missed and gone back and I've done some more research on things. I think I've done more research on this than I have in anything else, to be honest with you. But anyway, let's have a word of prayer and we'll read these first six verses. Heavenly Father, as we go into the message tonight, and we really begin to understand the importance of what it means to be under sound doctrine, biblical teaching. God, I pray tonight that we're not here to look down upon anybody. That's not our job. God, I believe it's our job to give warning to some things that are out there. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to see these things tonight through your word. God, I pray that you just use me to be able to do this. Again, Lord, I pray that you just be with our folks who aren't with us. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 1, it says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed." That's really going to be the verse that we're going to be taking this from tonight, but let's continue reading. It says, "And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to his godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain." Let's jump down to back to verse number 1 and read this again. It says, "But let as many servants as are under the yoke count their masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed." I'm going to give you three things tonight as we go through this right off the bat for us to be able to identify false doctrine, false teachers. So here are the three things if you want to write these down. Number one is false teachers often teach rebellion. False teachers often teach rebellion. Number two, false teachers or being under false doctrines will disagree with the sound instruction of Jesus Christ. I see some folks writing, so I'll say this again. False teachers or being under false doctrines will disagree with the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, false teachers do not agree with godly teaching. False teachers do not agree with godly teaching, which is why they teach what they want to teach. And we're going to go into some things tonight to expose some of those things. Verse number 1 says that the name of God and his doctrines should not be blasphemed. Today we are surrounded with many popular people who claim to know Christ as their Savior. When in fact, I want you to understand this as I'm saying this, they're teaching falseness. They're not teaching the correct doctrine of God's word. They're continuing to do this. So understand what I'm getting at here. So I'm going to say this again. We're surrounded with many people who claim to know Christ as their Savior, when in fact they might not know him otherwise, as they can continue to teach falsely. There is a big difference when it comes to someone who doesn't correct his ways. When that way is pointed out that they are teaching falsely. There's a difference in that. Sometimes you might misspeak, you might misquote something, you might misinterpret something. Somebody will come along the way and will say, hey, you said this wrong, did you mean this? And then you can begin to explain yourself. But to go on and to continue to teach falsely, there is a great concern. False teachers do this purposely. So even Bible-believing Christians can get caught up in this mess if they are not careful. Again, I've told you, I've watched countless hours of these things over the years. I've seen what goes on in these circles, and it scares me to see what goes on. It scares me to see how Bible believers get captivated with these things and get swallowed up by these things. And before you know it, they're into the false teaching as well. So that's what takes place. One thing I want you to understand as we go through this, we should not be seeking to glorify the preacher. That is normally what goes on in these type of circles. The preacher usually is the one who begins to be glorified from their congregation. And it's sad as we see this take place. There's a lot of men and even women, I'm going to put that in there too, because that's what's going on in our world, who have absolutely no respect for the pulpit, nor do they have any respect for God as well. It sickens me when I see grown men looking like they have to get off their bunk beds to jump down to get inside their skinny jeans and to put on their tight, ripped shirt so that they can get up to the pulpit and show their masculinity to their congregation. That is the type of preachers that are going on in our society today. And they're not giving a gospel message, they're giving a watered-down message. So we should not be seeking to glorify the preacher, but what we should be doing is, as a church, is seeking to glorify God. That is the goal. But here is a sad fact about many of these people that are drawn in. They know more about the preacher than they do God himself. They know about more what he likes to eat, what he likes to wear, things of that nature, his favorite car, and they don't even take the time to even to get to know who God is. And that's scary, because as a minister of the gospel, that preacher, that minister should be striving to drive that congregation to have a relationship with God. But they are more impressed with the preacher than they are in God. They're impressed with how he dresses. Some are impressed with how he sounds. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a guy who's drawn to a voice by how it sounds. If there's a football game on, I'm talking years ago, if there's a football game on, if there's a certain announcer on there, I'm not going to listen to it. I'll turn it. I'm going to be honest with you. I enjoyed listening to John Madden. I love listening to him fumble over his words. And the other guy I like to listen to is Al Michaels. These are men that have great voices. And so we're captivated by how they dress. We're captivated by how they sound and how they even speak. Well, he's such a great speaker. He grabs my attention. So those are just some of the outward things that they begin to come to draw into these things. But tonight we're going to look at some of the false teachings that are out there today. And what they believe and what they speak from the pulpit is downright sickening. The reason why they preach what they preach is for this reason, is because they don't believe in God and His doctrine. Now, I'm not saying it's everybody, but there are a lot out there that fall into this category. And so we're going to hear some of these quotes. And again, I'm not here to downgrade anybody. I'm not here to speak bad about anybody, because I know we live in a woke society. We live in a cancel culture, so I don't want to offend anybody. By the way, I think we as believers are ones who are responsible for that. Well, you can't say that. It's going to offend somebody. Well, moving right along, that was free. But here's one I'm going to throw out there. Gloria Copeland is the wife of Kenneth Copeland. They're very wealthy people. Matter of fact, they have their own yachts, they have their own airport, they have their own airplanes. I can care less about any of those things because that's just materialistic to me. That's something that's just going to burn for eternity. And so here is some things that they have actually taught from the pulpit. They believe, and this is a quote from them back in 2004. The quote is, "We can control the weather." They believe that they can control the weather. But before I go on, let me say this. They also say that they don't fly in bad weather. Well, wait a minute. If you can control the weather, wouldn't the weather be good for you all the time? But here's what she says. "We can control the weather." Says they were looking out their window one afternoon, and they saw a tornado begin to spiral down onto the ground. And looking out there and seeing what was going to take place, her husband quickly gets up, goes to the window, and begins to speak to the tornado. And he begins to rebuke the tornado in the name of Jesus to get out of here. You want to know what happened? The tornado obeyed his voice and spiraled right back into the sky. Think about this for a second. Who is the creator of storms? Jesus Christ. But here's the funny thing. They can control the weather, but they don't fly in bad weather. So with that being said, if they can control weather, so why is it that thousands of people die every year due to bad weather? Some will die on the roads in the wintertime because of slick weather conditions. Some will die on the roads because of going into a flooded area from a bad rainstorm. Some will possibly get hit by lightning. Some have lived to tell about that experience. But if they're able to control the weather, then why are thousands of people dying over this thing? If this was the case, then why aren't they out there rebuking every storm that comes our way? Every year, we're threatened with tornado-like weather here in the Midwest. Every year in the South, they're threatened with hurricane weather. They're threatened with those things, but where are they? Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 8. I want you to see something here. The book of Luke, chapter 8, is important for us to look at here because in verse number 22 through verse number 25, let's read this. It says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on a lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he rose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. If we have the power to rebuke the storms, then why didn't the disciples take this upon themselves? What she is saying in this quote is, hey, I am on the same level as God. The weather is going to listen to our voice, and we're going to rebuke it, and it's going to go away. I have to tell you something here. We are not on the same level with God. God is above us. But that is the type of world that they believe that they live on, that we are equal with God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not equal with God. I can't tell you the last time I spoke something into existence. By the way, I'm going to deal with this here in a little bit. The weather that was created by God only listens to the Creator. It's not just Mrs. Copeland, but it's many false teachers who claim that they are Christ. Creflo Dollar and Benny Hinn believe that they can speak things into existence. Benny Hinn said on a show that was televised on TBN, as he's watching, as he's speaking on TBN, he's saying, as I'm speaking right now, I am literally speaking things into existence. Folks, that's false. Because we are not God. We cannot speak things into existence. Creflo is quoted. Here's his quote. As a spiritual being who possess the nature of God, we have the ability to speak things into existence, just like God did in Genesis chapter 1. Here's the problem with this. Only God can speak things into existence. So if that was the case, then why didn't God from day one just create Adam and say, Adam, I'm going to turn the rest over to you. You speak everything else into existence. No, Adam didn't have that authority. Adam didn't have that power. Why? Because Adam's not God. And so this is what they speak from their pulpits. I'm going to move right along to my favorite one. Joel Osteen. He's got a nice set of hair. Got a beautiful smile. By the way, you should have a nice set of hair and a beautiful smile when you're raking in $20 million a year. Pays for a lot. But this here disturbs me. He said during an interview with Glenn Beck, he's talking about how, well, let me just say this. He said, even the Hindu, think about this, the Hindu people, they love God. They don't even know God. They practice a totally different religion. Now, can Hindus love God? Yes, Hindus can love God if they repented of their sins and turned away from their witchcraft and things of that nature and accepted Christ in their hearts. But you cannot love someone without knowing them. But here's what scares me. To this day, Joel continues to deny that Jesus is the only way to get saved. He has said that. He has said Jesus is not the only way to get saved. And how can we say that he is saved himself by teaching this heresy? Turn your Bibles with me to the book of John chapter 14. Because my Bible tells me something totally different than what Joel Osteen is teaching his congregation. So I believe if your Bible reads the same way as mine, you're going to catch this. Verse number 6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If there's another way, then this verse right here, folks, that we've read most of our lives is totally false. There is no other way but through Jesus Christ. And I'm saying and going over this with you folks tonight because we need to be careful on what we are allowing ourselves to watch while we're away from church. Jesus says, I am the way. There is no other way. If you're going a different direction trying to get to heaven, that's not the way. So with that being said, Joel in his own teaching to his congregation and the thousands that will listen to the interviews that he has is saying this. He is saying, Jesus is a liar. When in fact, it's Joel who is lying. His own wife goes on their own broadcast in November of 2011 and begins to say some things that will astound you. But before I go on, let me read this verse again. That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. So in November of 2011, she's on their telecast. And these are her words, not my words. She says that Jesus was just a man. Listen to this. Until God touched him. Jesus was just a man, just like you and me. Until God touched him. And when God touched him, he finally got the Spirit in him. Folks, this is what the world is falling for. That is flat-out heresy. What's it say in John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It doesn't say anything about Jesus being just a man until God touched him. And you might say, Chad, you're pretty passionate about this. Yeah, I really am. Because it's scary to see how people can fall for these things. So this is heresy that they are teaching, but thousands of their followers believe this very thing. I'm going to touch on one that might not be too favorable, but Sid Roth. He's another one of their false teachers who claims to teach people how to speak in tongues. Again, TBN aired an episode. And I've seen this with my own eyes. I've heard it with my own ears. Teaching the audience how to speak in tongues. He was so angry with the fact of how they were doing it, he kept yelling, faster, 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 faster. And he'd jump out of his chair, faster, faster. And he got outraged. He said, if I was holding a gun to your rib cage, you'd be doing it right. Those were his words. If this is something that God gave us the ability to do, then why in the world would they have to teach people to do it? I believe that God gave his disciples the ability to interpret tongues. But it was for the glory of God. It wasn't for the glory of man. Don Piper. I don't know too much about him, but I know a little bit about him. He wrote a book back in 2004, and this is the title. It's titled 90 Minutes in Heaven. 90 Minutes in Heaven, and this is his version of him dying and going to heaven for 90 minutes. I'm going to read you his quote from his book. It says this. Did I tell you the title of the book says 90 Minutes in Heaven? Okay, so listen to this quote. I did not see God. I saw no luminous glow that might have indicated his divine presence. Folks, if you're in heaven for 90 minutes, wouldn't you take the time to go see God? Or even the fact God would come to see you. But he's saying, I did not see God. David Piper, maybe you just created your own version of your own heaven. Because if I was in heaven, I know I'd see God. How in the world could you go to heaven for 90 minutes and not even see God or remembering to see God? I can be certain today if I was there for 90 minutes, I would know that I saw God. I could, without a doubt, remember seeing him. Again, let me say this once again. Remember why I'm saying this. This isn't about them getting corrected and saying, oh, hey, I made a mistake. I'm going to correct my ways and I'm going to get underneath and get the proper teaching, get the proper education. No, this is a continuous lifestyle. So understand why I say this. False teachers are not saved. Can they get saved? Yes, they can. Can they repent of their sins and find? Yes, they can. And I might get some backlash on that. So why is this important tonight? And this is just a few. And I'm just touching a small part of this. It's important for this reason. If you neglect the right doctrine, here's a scary thought. You don't have God. We will continue next week with some more exposure to some false teachings. And one of them that I'm going to give you next week is, I believe your jaw is going to drop, because when I heard this, my jaw dropped. I'm just going to give you a little preview. To some of these false teachers, Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God. And I'll share that with you next week. Boy, Chad, you're teasing me. Well, yeah, it's kind of like television. Just wanting to bring you back into next week. One more thing before we go. In doing this study and continue to do so, I've learned some of these false teachers. This scared me. This opened up my eyes. Some of these false teachers were once independent Baptist preachers, which is why I feel it's important to help us understand that we need to be careful on what we allow our eyes and our ears to hear when we're not here in this church. By the way, there are some books out there that people read. I'm going to say this as nice as I can say this. Be careful. Be careful. You know how you don't go astray? This is the book that should guide our life, that will give us all the answers. These are God's thoughts. The other books, they're man's opinions. They're man's versions. How can I identify a false teacher? I'm going to give you this answer tonight. Study your word. Know God's doctrine. And you'll see the truth. You'll see the truth. I hope this has been eye-opening to you just a little bit. And I'm not here to scare you these things. I'm just here to warn you that what's out there so that you don't fall into that trap. Because I'm going to be honest with you folks. I told you I've watched this for years. Almost persuaded. It's easy when you see all the glitz and glamour and the thousands of people, this thing going on here, that thing going on here. someone jumping around on the pulpit, going back and forth, acting crazy. Almost persuaded. But I thank God that he gives a spiritual discernment to see the heresy that's out there. So that's why it's important to me to pass along to you. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word tonight. God, I want to thank you for your doctrine that you've given us, that we can learn and that we can study, and we can know that it's from you and we're getting the truth. God, I pray that as eyes have maybe been open a little bit, maybe some have already known these things, it might not be nothing new to them, but God, I pray that you just help us to be using our spiritual discernment in these matters. We thank you tonight. We ask you just bless us as we leave. Bring us back safely this coming Sunday. In your name, amen.